All right, Wednesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be mightily blessed in Jesus' mighty name. You know, just a couple of things. Aaron, you got that Jose Ibarra stuff, or we got to go wait for a little bit?
No, I'm pulling it up.
You got it? Okay, so wait for a little bit.
Yeah, just
okay. Let's go. We'll go to Ukraine first, and I've got to go over the Jose Ibarra stuff, the Lake and Riley murderer stuff, what happened in the court. You saw that on the pregame where he got sentenced. He's found guilty on all charges. But I want to go with some internal politics on all that situation, just so you can see it. Are you ready already?
Yeah,
oh, there we go. So if you're wondering how he didn't end up getting the death penalty, here's why. Now, this is a guy who attempted to rape Lake and Riley. There's all sorts of other charges. You heard them all read off in the pregame, but obviously murder, attempted sexual assault, various other felonious charges. Obviously, he should have qualified for the death penalty in Georgia, but he doesn't get it because of Deborah Gonzalez, who was the prosecutor, and we can see where she stands. Deborah Gonzalez, we are not going back. Harris Waltz, 2024, Deborah Gonzalez for DA. So hence the reason why it is that we don't get the death penalty for Jose Ibarra, which he obviously should have gotten for bashing Lake and Riley's. And I was tempted to do sort of a montage of Lake and Riley tonight, kind of as a tribute to her, but I just felt like it was just too sad. Because there's videos that were released today of when the police told her parents that she had been murdered. There's videos of her in her life. And again, we definitely are memorializing Lake and Riley, but she is one of many American women who have been raped. She wasn't raped, but the attempted rape. But raped and murdered by illegal aliens, and that Jose Ibarra should be sentenced to death for what he did. He beat her to death with a rock. He hit her in the head over and over again until she died. So he murdered her. But anyway, so I mean, I just wanted to put it out there because here's the internal politics of why we don't get the things that we want. Tom, do you believe in the death penalty? Absolutely believe in the death penalty. So for certain things, I don't believe in it. Like everybody wants everybody to die. I don't, because there needs to be, you know, they want certain, you know, sex predators, whatever. Listen, if you're a cop as long as I've been, people lie about being raped, okay? And you don't want to put people to death, because I'm telling you, like, I've dealt with that, okay, in law enforcement. I dealt with a specific case where a young girl, like I believe she was 12 years old, said that her stepfather had raped her. And she reported it to me. I've told you this on the podcast before. She reported it to me, but it happened in another jurisdiction. But I found out how the case went. She was lying the entire time because why was she lying about her stepfather raping her? She said that her stepfather raped her because she didn't want to move. Okay, so you don't want to sentence that guy to death. All right, that's the whole thing. But when you take a rock and smash somebody's skull until they're dead, that person should die. It's indisputable. He can appeal. You can have all your appeals. I believe in your having an appeal. To the absurdity that we have them now, no, but definitely need to have an appeal. There's no way he'll win. Every sort of evidence is involved in this case. Lock, stock, and barrel, Jose Ibarra is absolutely guilty. And the reason why he's not getting the punishment he deserves, he did get life in prison without parole, but he should be on death row. And the reason why he's not is because he has a prosecutor who doesn't want anybody to get the death penalty ever because she's a leftist. Just so you know, probably, I bet you she would love the death penalty if it was Donald Trump, though. How much you want to bet? In that one specific circumstance, she'd be fine with it. All right, I'm waiting on saying hey to everybody in the chat. I forgot my iPad, so Aaron's getting another computer ready for me, so we will do that in just a couple minutes. But anyway, let's hop right into Ukraine stuff. And I know that it's primarily, we're going to get to Gates in a minute, but priorities are priorities. And this, of course, is number one priority, is we are on the cusp of a nuclear war. So, I don't think we're going to have a nuclear war. I just think we're on the cusp of a nuclear war. I think we're closer to being in a nuclear war than we were during the Bay of Pigs. If anybody's 50 years of age or older, you can remember back in the day when it was really the Cold War and the Iron Curtain. And some of you even had nuclear attack drills at school where everybody went underneath their desks as if that would do anything. But if you remember, you grew up in that time, it was pretty scary. It was scary like that. And of course, the Cuban Missile Crisis, Bay of Pigs, all the different things. But now I can flat out tell you, we've never been closer to nuclear war than we are right now. Because I remember all the way back to Brezhnev. I can remember Gorbachev, everybody, basically. Yeltsin, was that his name?
Yeah, Yeltsin.
Yeltsin. I remember everybody. So, you know, and I can remember the verbiage and what they were saying during those times. And it never got escalated to the place where we are at now. It's never gotten to that place where you are actually hearing a president of the Soviet Union saying things that he's saying now. Like, you know, we're thinking about using tactical nuclear weapons. We consider ourselves to be at war with NATO. This has all already happened. Why? Because Joe Biden, who now we've seen the latest videos, and I'm getting to those too. Probably should have put those up first. We've seen the latest videos. Joe Biden is absolutely now incoherent. Just so you know, I'm going to play the videos in a minute. Joe Biden's incoherent. So who is making these decisions? We know it's Hussein Obama, who's the puppet master, but who are the people that he's actually got his hand up their puppet chutes? Susan Rice, others that are making these decisions. And what they're trying to do is make it impossible for Donald Trump to govern effectively when he takes office. And by the way, no matter what they do, he's going to govern effectively. So BRICS News, just in, Russian President Putin is open to discussing. This is from today. He's open to discussing, as General Flynn put out, Donald Trump, even I think it may have been General Flynn. I'm not sure if it was him or it was somebody on War Room with Steve Bannon. But talking about even flying over to, I'm trying to remember what show it was. It's on my head right now. No, it was actually, it was Naomi Wolf on Alex Jones. Donald Trump actually flying over to Russia and meeting with Vladimir Putin. If you can fly over and meet with Zelensky, then you can fly over and meet with Putin. Everybody knows that Joe Biden, get this, guys, Joe Biden hasn't spoken to Vladimir Putin in years. He hasn't spoken to Vladimir Putin since the invasion of Ukraine. Think about how stupid that is. It doesn't matter how evil somebody is. If they want to talk, you might want to talk to them, especially who has the largest nuclear arsenal in the world. People think it's us. It's not us. It's Russia, which doesn't even have the economy of California, but they have a larger nuclear arsenal than we do. They have, listen, I know I put these stats out already, and credit to Alex Jones for these stats. There's 20 nuclear subs, Russian nuclear subs, in the Gulf of Mexico right now with their cruise missiles. Well, they don't call them cruise. Tomahawks, no, they don't call them Tomahawks, but you know what I mean. Nuclear warhead, hydrogen bomb, powered nuclear missiles on submarines off the coast of Texas and Florida right now. Right now. Can we do something about it? No. We can't. We have a dilapidated military that was built up greatly under Donald Trump and is in ruins right now. No ability to recruit. Lowest recruiting in 40 years. We have no military. We're way behind in hypersonic technology. And just so you know, all of those missiles on those Russian subs that are in the Gulf of Mexico, I'm not even talking about the Atlantic. There's another 20 of them on the Atlantic. Another 20 of them off the Pacific coast. You're like, they have all that? Yeah, folks. And you have all these idiots like Sean Penn. Well, if they hit us, we'll hit them. You're an idiot. Everybody dies, you stupid idiot. Seven out of 8 billion people are dead. And that's the lowest estimates. So they can obliterate the East Coast in 3 minutes. They can reach Chicago from the Gulf of Mexico in 6 to 7 minutes. They can reach MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa in less than 60 seconds. Yeah. And everybody wants to trifle around with a nuclear war. What a bunch of idiots. The Democrats have never cared about humanity. They said they have. They say that's their number one concern. All that their only concern is maintaining their position, getting promoted, getting power, and getting wealth. That's all they care about. If they can happen to use you to do so through some late legislative action, some bill, then maybe they'll do it. But whether it's global warming, whether it's open borders, whether it's CBDC, social credit systems, vaccine passports, any other leverage point for their globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist narrative, they'll use anything they can to gain power. And of course, then they have to cover for their money laundering schemes inside of Ukraine. Metabiota partners with the Wuhan Institute of Virology in Ukraine. Bioweapons labs labs financed by the United States government, CIA, namely, in Ukraine, Privat Bank financing the Biden operations inside of Ukraine, Burisma inside of Ukraine, $83,000 a month to Hunter Biden for his fossil fuel expertise. All of that malfeasance needs to be covered. It's not the only reason for the war, but it's one of many reasons for the war. But anyway, Putin is open to discussing a ceasefire with Ukraine if negotiations are led by U.S. President-elect Donald Trump. Because, you see, Donald Trump has more of an understanding. People go, Vladimir Putin attacked a democracy. We got to back the democracy. Ukraine's not a democracy. So your initial argument is completely erroneous. It's not a democracy. It's an autocratic dictatorship with no opposition parties, no opposition media, no elections. And the most corrupt country on the planet that Democrats and Rhino Republicans have been laundering money through for decades now. Pelosi's, Romney's, Biden's, and all the rest of them. As well as the bioweapons labs, one of which, Metabiota, partially owned by Hunter Biden in partnership with the Wuhan Institute of Virology. What a coincidence that is. So you have Putin, he said, because Putin will talk to Donald Trump because Donald Trump actually has an understanding of it. It's not autocratic dictatorship versus democracy. No, it's not. You have Russian-speaking provinces inside of Ukraine that want to be annexed into Russia. Crimea was the first one. Then you have Donetsk and Luhansk. They all want to be. They're tired of being assaulted and tormented and harassed by the Nazi Azov Zelensky battalion. And they've been asking to be, they're Russian speaking. They're, for all intents and purposes, Russian, because Ukraine used to be part of Russia. I'm not saying that Ukraine shouldn't be a sovereign nation. I'm talking about the breakout provinces. Does anybody, I mean, think about it. Do you ever hear John Thune say that? Or John Cornyn, or Chuckie Schumer, or Nancy Pelosi, who says Slava Ukraine, and that Zelensky's the second coming of Winston Churchill. No, they just put it in these very binary sort of, they put it in like a, you know, a binary statement of democracy versus dictatorship. They're both dictatorships. And it's a thousand-year Slavic conflict that we have no part in, nor will we ever be able to resolve it. It's like bombing Kosovo. Or Bosnia. What does that do? Nothing except what? Feed the military-industrial complex, which is another aspect that Donald Trump understands. That's why Putin wants to talk to him, because he understands the complexities behind it. That we've encroached with 13, 14 NATO countries closer to Russia in violation of the accords, the peace treaty that we signed. When they said that they would take down the Iron Curtain, setting free East Germany and all the other Iron Curtain countries, when Gorbachev agreed to do that in 1991, when he agreed to do that, the agreement stated, we're going to take down the Iron Curtain, but you can't encroach on our country with more NATO countries. We've encroached with 13 or 14, 16, 17, I can't remember exactly, over 10 countries. And the reason why the Democrats want Ukraine to be a NATO country is so that Ukraine has to buy all of its weapon systems from military-industrial complex-approved contractors. NATO-approved contractors, Raytheon, Honeywell, Lockheed Martin, and all the other ones you could possibly name. Because all of those companies are actually owned by BlackRock, which is a globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist company that has about $7 trillion in its account. That's the whole thing. Since 1990, Aaron sent it to me. Yeah, I was close, wasn't I?
Yeah.
I said 16 or 70.
Yep.
Since 1990, 16 countries have joined NATO. That's all in violation of the treaty. All in violation of the treaty. And all the, you know what stops this war? Vladimir Putin already agreed to it. Zelensky already agreed to it. And then Boris Johnson flew there to talk him out of it. It's just like Matthew Colangelo flying to New York to talk Alvin Bragg into prosecuting Donald Trump for the 34 felony counts that don't exist. So Boris Johnson flies in to talk to Volodymyr Zelensky and said, because all Putin wanted was just agree that you will never join NATO and this is over. They're not even going to take the breakout provinces. Now that, you know what? Now they're going to give up breakout provinces. They could have not given up the breakout provinces, Donetsk and Luhansk. They could have done that, but now they will. Now they will. Putin has ruled out any significant territorial concessions, see, and demands that Ukraine abandon its NATO membership ambitions. That's all that he's asked for. And NATO and Ukraine abandoning its NATO ambitions is in accordance with the treaty that's already in place. So the only liars are us. The only people that are escalating this thing are not the evil Vladimir Putin. It's the Biden administration that's doing it. By allowing, of course, you already know the story, allowing ATACMS that we sent in, that's actually the acronym for them, ATACMS, which six have already been aimed, have been shot at Russia, five were shot down. By allowing ATACMS, which is the modern day Scud, which cannot be shot by Ukraine personnel. So Putin knows that. How do we get away with this? How does the United States government get away with this? Very simple. You just do it as a contractor. We have contractors inside of Ukraine that can shoot the missiles down, but they're actually military personnel. They just call them contractors or retired military personnel. And Putin knows that they don't have the ability to shoot. There's one right there. That's it. That's an ATACMS right there. Putin knows that the Ukraine military does not have the ability to shoot these missiles. They don't have the ability. It has to be a United States military. It has to be United States military personnel or a United States military cutout. He knows it. Why would you ever escalate this war? Why would you ever do it when you're fighting for an authoritarian dictator? Volodymyr Zelensky. I'm not talking about Putin. I'm talking about Zelensky. Putin's a dictator too. But you know, Putin allows in the church in his country, and Volodymyr Zelensky doesn't. Volodymyr Zelensky has a trans man as a military spokesman. Vladimir Putin never had that. So who's more leftist? Who's closer to does Volodymyr Zelensky? Aaron, you can go. Let me ask Aaron. Aaron, does Vladimir Putin have an Azov Nazi battalion?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so. No. Right? Yeah, who has the Nazis? What were the only two countries that voted against outlawing Nazism on a global scale? United States and Ukraine.
Yep.
Because they want that. Because why in the world would United States politicians want a Nazi battalion inside of Ukraine? They got to have somebody burning up everything in place so they can hide their malfeasance. And so you can be arsonist and firefighter. We're going to burn up the country. We're going to burn it down. We're going to blow it up. 600,000 people dead. And then BlackRock, International Monetary Fund, Bill and Hillary Clinton Foundation. This is all involved in this. And Hyatt Hotels, J.B. Pritzker's sister, could all rebuild Ukraine. They're already cashless. They're already going to implement a system right out of downtown Beijing. And Beijing's been sending money to both Ukraine and Russia. Because China wants Ukraine burned down to the ground too, so they can be part of the rebuild. And they're going to have a Chinese-style social credit system because Ukraine is already cashless. So, again, why would anybody escalate this war? There has to be a political motive behind it. There's not going to be a nuclear war because nobody wants to die. Listen, all of these people are very committed to everything that they allegedly stand for until either they're going to go to prison or they're going to die, and then they'll back off. All right, let's go to the next one, Will. Matt Rosendale tweet. In case you missed it, the Department of State just told Ukraine they can keep $4.6 billion. Oh, this is $4.6 billion. I mean, remember, and I know I say this all the time, but just remember what a billion is. 1 billion is 1,000 millions. And you just keep it. And hard-earned taxpayer money, they originally were supposed to pay back. So it was one of these Biden loans. Because, you know, the Biden family has all these indiscriminate loans that they never have to pay back coming from the Chinese government. So this is how the world works. It's all a lie. Again, you're like, Tom, that's hyperbolic. Everything from establishment governments, establishment media, establishment D.C., that's why Donald Trump is such a threat, are lies. It's all fabrications. It's all mirages. Enough is enough. I am tired of money being wasted on endless foreign wars. Exactly right. Now, Joe Biden just unilaterally cancels debt. Can he do that without Congress, since Congress finances that? And how in the world is Joe Biden allowed to conduct an illegal foreign war without congressional approval? If you're going to send in United States-built missiles, and here's the thing, again, credit Alex Jones on this. The reason why Russians don't want those missiles, I mean, it's obvious why anybody wouldn't want missiles fired on them, but there's an additional reason why they don't want them fired. Because once they start firing them in, and they are not nuclear missiles, they're standard missiles. They send them in, but the problem is all of those attackums can be up armored, can be enhanced to nuclear weapons. And you never know which one's the first. If you start letting them in, you never know which one will be the first one that's been up armored to nuclear. That's the problem. And we're going to sit there, the largest, again, 20 Russian submarines off the East Coast, 20 Russian submarines in the Gulf of Mexico, 20 Russian submarines off the coast of California. And you want to sit there and poke that bear? Do you realize the entire East Coast could be absolutely wiped away in less than 5 minutes? Is everybody aware of that? That all these precious people, all these precious liberals in New York City on Broadway, it's gone in 5 minutes. Are you aware of that? That not only can that ICBM be shot from the Atlantic, it can be shot from the Gulf of Mexico and reach New York in less than 7 minutes. And we're all going to sit there and shoot missiles into Russia? Missiles that Vladimir Putin knows can only be shot by American military personnel using satellite technology? And geo tracking and all of that? All right, let's go to the next one. Ignorance, the root and stem of all evil video. Just want to tell you once again, this is shorter than last night's. Here's another short little video about the root of the Ukraine conflict. Play it for me.
You seem very reliant on accepting Putin's worldview rather than perhaps the stark reality of the barbarism with which he's executed this war.
Yeah, maybe because I know too much about the United States, because the first war in Europe after World War II was the U.S. bombing of Belgrade for 78 days to change borders of a European state. The idea was to break Serbia, to create Kosovo as an enclave, and then to install Bondesteel, which is the largest NATO base in the Balkans, in the Southwest Balkans. So the U.S. started this under Clinton, we will break the borders, we will illegally bomb another country. We didn't have any U.N. authority. This was a, quote, NATO mission to do that. Then I know the United States went to war repeatedly, illegally, in what it did in Afghanistan, and then what it did in Iraq, and then what it did in Syria, which was the Obama administration, especially Obama and Hillary Clinton, tasking the CIA to overthrow Bashar al-Assad, and then what it did with NATO illegally bombing Libya to topple Muammar Gaddafi, and then what it did in Kiev in February 2014. I happened to see some of that with my own eyes. The U.S. overthrew Yanukovych together with right-wing Ukrainian military forces. We overthrew a president. And what's interesting, by the way, is we overthrew Yanukovych the day after the European Union representatives had reached an agreement with Yanukovych to have early elections, a government of national unity, and a stand down of both sides. That was agreed. The next thing that happens is the opposition, quote unquote, says, we don't agree. They stormed the government buildings and they deposed Yanukovych. And within hours, the United States says, yes, we support the new government. It didn't say, oh, we had an agreement. That's unconstitutional what you did. So we overthrew a government, contrary to a promise that the European Union had made. And by the way, Russia, the United States, and the EU were parties to that agreement. And the United States, an hour afterwards, backed the coup. Okay, so everyone's got a little bit to answer for. In 2015, the Russians did not say, we want the Donbas back. They said peace should come through negotiations. And negotiations between the ethnic Russians in the east of Ukraine and this new regime in Kiev led to the Minsk II agreement. The Minsk II agreement was voted by the UN Security Council unanimously. It was signed by the government of Ukraine. It was guaranteed explicitly by Germany and France. And you know what? And it's been explained to me in person. It was laughed at inside the U.S. government. This is after the U.N. Security Council unanimously accepted it. The Ukrainians said, we don't want to give autonomy to the region. Oh, but that's part of the treaty. The U.S. told them, don't worry about it. Angela Merkel explained in Die Zeit, in a notorious interview after the 2022 escalation, she said, oh, you know, we knew that Minsk II was just a holding pattern to give Ukraine time to build its strength. No, Minsk II was a UN Security Council unanimously adopted treaty that was supposed to end the war. So when it comes to who's trustworthy, who to believe, and so forth, I guess my problem, Piers, is I know the United States government. I know it very well. I don't trust them for a moment. I want these two sides actually to sit down in front of the whole world and say, these are the terms. Then the world can judge, because we could get on paper clearly for both sides of the world. We're not going to overthrow governments anymore, the United States needs to say. We accept this agreement, the United States needs to say. Russia needs to say we're not stepping one foot farther than whatever the boundary is actually reached. And NATO's not going to enlarge. And let's put it for the whole world to see. You know, once in a while, treaties actually hold.
So look at, if you look at that timeline there, first of all, you had the conflict in the Balkans started by the Clintons. You had the conflict in Syria, Libya, Afghanistan, and Iraq, which were basically all illegal wars. All right, then we started our color revolution in 2014, overthrew Yanukovych, right? And that's violating the agreement that we just came to with Yanukovych, which included the EU, Russia, Ukraine, the United States, which was, okay, you know what? Nobody likes Yanukovych, so to speak, except for Yanukovych trying to normalize relationships with Russia, which, again, you can have Ukraine normalizing relationships with Russia because the malfeasance of the Democratic Party will then no longer be covered up. That's the problem. And you see, if all of these things, you're like, Tom, aren't you pro-United States? I'm pro-United States. I'm not pro-globalist. I'm not pro-members of the Democratic Party covering their malfeasance in the name of national security interests. That makes sense, Aaron?
Yeah, yeah.
That's my problem. None of this is done for my benefit or your benefit. It's done for their own personal financial benefit and to the benefit of them covering up their malfeasance and their crimes. That's the sole motivations for all of these people on the left and the Rhino Republicans. Covering their own malfeasance and their own personal profit. What they call, you know, we're redacting that because we're redacting it because it's classified. We're redacting it because if we release it, it's a threat to national security. It's never a threat to national security. It's a threat to their own reputations. It's a threat to their own job security. It's a threat to their own non-criminal freedom. It's a threat. It's a threat to them. That, you know, it's a threat to them in that if this gets released, they could be charged with a crime. That's their motivations. And they put it all under the umbrella of, all under the camouflage of national security purposes, the Victoria Nulands of the world, the Jake Sullivans of the world, the Mitt Romneys of the world, the Nancy Pelosi's of the world, the Lindsey Graham's of the world, the John McCain's of the world. All these people that are starting these conflicts, the Barack Hussein Obama's of the world. And then if you look into it, they say, that's all redacted. That's all classified. You're not allowed to see it because there's national security interests, you know, at stake. No, there's not. There's no national security interests at stake. What's at stake is their own reputation. What's at stake is them staying out of jail. What's at stake is their own personal financial profit. That's it. And they put it all under the guise of national security. The same thing what Christopher Wray does. We can't talk about an ongoing investigation. That's covering up FBI criminal malfeasance, but it's under the guise of this ongoing investigation. It's all lies. Then you have the Minsk II treaty, the Minsk, it's hard for me to say that, II treaty agreement, which was endorsed and firmly put in place by the UN Security Council. And if you actually saw the beginning of this video, where you have Piers Morgan. He's attacking that guy. Don't you want to defend democracy? What does any of this have to do with democracy? Seriously, that's what Piers, that because everybody operates that it's not us, not the 1,007 that are watching now, and those that are watching on the Christian Television Network, I hope. Everybody operates at this superficial level. Democracy versus dictatorship, duh. No, you got to look at the actors who are calling this area a democracy. Why are they calling it a democracy? Why do they want to defend the territorial boundaries of Ukraine? What are their personal interests? You have to look into that, Piers Morgan, and everybody else, before you just go, Slava Ukraine and the next coming of Winston Churchill is Volodymyr Zelensky. You're just an idiot operating in complete and total ignorance. There are evil people driving this war. The reason why Volodymyr Zelensky is the president of Ukraine is because he's an empty suit. He's a trans comedic actor. That's all he is. He's a nobody. He walks around with his olive drab sweaters on, and all he's ever done is walk around in skinny jeans and latex pants his entire life. He's just very easily governed by globalist interests as he rakes in billions of dollars into his own account and keeps buying mansions. So people like Piers Morgan, don't you want to defend democracy? Piers, there might be a little bit more to it than that, especially since Ukraine's not a democracy at all. There's a lot of other, you have to look at the motivations behind the people who are starting these wars. I'm not exonerating Putin. I'm just saying, what are his motivations? You always have to look at motivations. That's how you can tell. You can tell that Kash Patel is a great nominee to run the FBI because everybody's so inflamed about it. Rhino Republicans don't want it. Same thing with Matt Gaetz as the AG. The Rhino Republicans don't want him. And the Democrats don't want him. And so, again, if you're a Republican and you don't want Matt Gaetz, what are you really? You're not certainly not a Republican. You're certainly not a conservative. You're wanting to continue to usher forward the globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist narrative and agenda. That's what you actually want to do. Under the guise of being a reasonable Republican. You're not actually a reasonable Republican. And all these guys know, they all know that they are pathological liars, or the John Thunes of the world, the John Cornyns of the world. John Cornyn's already come out against Gaetz. They know they're not Republicans. They lie for a living. None of them voted for Donald Trump. Do you honestly think that John Thune went in there and voted for Donald Trump? And like everyone's like, well, Lindsey Graham's coming out in favor of Matt Gaetz right now. Do you really think? Lindsey Graham's doing that for political survival. I'm trying to think of all the previous ones. He voted for Hillary. We know that. We know he voted for Kamala Harris. You know he voted for Biden too. Come on. All right, let me say hey to everybody in the chat. It's been a while. Aaron got me the computer a couple minutes ago. Garage Dorman's on. Coco Dominguez on. Kep Guy 1 is on. Tammy L. Margaret is on. Joe Heathen is on. D9597 is on. Salty Gonads is on. Why Not Me's on. U.S. Abbey Girl is on. Neanderthal Soup is on. Waterline 46 is on. Black Bart 201 is on. Satcom 9475 is on. SCWAR Ratcliffe 1965 is on. Alpha Acres is on. Let me see who else. Q13013 is on. MZ Boo is on. Checking out. I'm just scrolling down, guys. Leon Fish Puppy's on. I'm looking for you. Lizzie 859 is on. 11 Carl 11 is on. The great T1AU is on. I know it's something else, but I don't know how to say it. But anyway, I appreciate each and everybody in the chat. I'm looking, scrolling back towards the bottom. I can't work this thing as good as I can work my iPad, but it's actually a better computer, but I can't work it as good. Granite 2468 is on. Patton McGroin is on. Conservative Waffles on. Appreciate you guys. Love each and every one of you. 1,032 people that I can see watching us right now. I don't know how many people are on Christian Television Network. All right, let's go to the next one, Will. Is it Real Robert? Real Robert video. Julian Assange. Trump had no connection to Russia. So let me just tell you why I'm showing you this video. It's always Russia, 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 right? And more specifically, it's always Russia is electing Republicans. Russia is the root of all evil. Does anybody can even think of in my lifetime, what Russia's ever done in the United States? What have they done exactly? Are they just simply a cudgel for Democratic parties the Democratic Party to falsely accuse Republicans. He's a Russian asset. She's a Russian asset. And what has Russia even done? I mean, seriously, we could name a lot more that China's done than Russia's done, especially in the last decade. What has Russia exactly done to us? I'm talking about. I'm not saying they're good. I'm asking, what have they done to us? We can say the number one sponsor of terrorism on the planet, Iran, has killed somewhere between 2,000 and 5,000 American soldiers. We got that. What's Russia done exactly? I mean, maybe they sponsor them, send them money. I'm certainly not saying that they're good. I'm just saying, what have they specifically done to earn the title of being behind every single evil thing that's ever happened? Most evil country in the world. I mean, exactly. What have they done to earn that? Exactly. So Julian Assange, and again, who actually is in love with the Russians? Is it the people that are accusing us? Now, they always accuse us of being racist, right? And we're not racist. They accuse us of being transphobic, and none of us are afraid of trans people. We're just not going to call a man a woman and a woman a man. You know, they always accuse us of being Nazis, but the only people that are committing mass genocide and medical experimentations and banning firearms and banning speech are them. So they have a lot more in common with Nazis than we do, because we have zero in common with Nazis. So who is actually in love with Russia? The people claiming that we are. Julian Assange, play for me.
Hillary Clinton has done quite well strategically to try and draw connection between Trump and Russia, because she has so many connections of her own. Now, my analysis of Trump and Russia is that there is no substantial connection. Why do I say that? Well, because Trump was trying to invest in Russia before Putin in the 1990s, after Putin, in fact, nearly all the way up to the present moment. And he's had no success. He did not manage to build hotels and so on in Russia. So that shows how insubstantial his contacts are. There's an extremely well-documented pattern of when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, those people, companies, governments, who wanted a decision by the Secretary of State in their favor, making large donations to the Clinton Foundation, or in some other cases, business deals with the people around Hillary Clinton. Now, one particular instance is the approval by Secretary Clinton of selling 20% of the U.S. uranium reprocessing rights to a Russian company to be exported to Russia. So at that time, a large donation was made by those Russian interests to the Clinton Foundation. In addition, Clinton's campaign manager, Podesta, was on the board of a company called Juul Unlimited. And Juul Unlimited held some of these rights and received a $35 million investment from Russia.
Okay, and again, let's just track the money, right? Anybody and everybody, show me one penny that Donald Trump has ever received from a Russian asset, ever. I mean, you have Uranium One, who gave $120 million to the Bill and Hillary Clinton Foundation, and then Hillary pushed through the State Department when she was Secretary of State the sale of 20% of the ability to enrich uranium to the Russians. Name one thing Donald Trump has ever done like that. $3.5 million coming from Elena Baterina, the former wife of the Moscow mayor, richest woman in Russia at the time, sent $3.5 million to Hunter Biden. That's just two examples out of Russia. Give me one on Trump. Give me one time Trump has received $31 from Russia. And then Bill Clinton gets $500,000 to give a speech in Moscow. I mean, in fact, the Russians did bribe Hillary Clinton $3 million for 20% of you. That's just to her. They also gave $120 million to the Bill and Hillary Clinton Foundation. I mean, and then they say that Donald Trump is a Russian asset. I mean, imagine the audacity of that. When you've received tens of millions of dollars from the country that you're claiming somebody else is an asset of? And again, this is why you have to have Matt Gaetz at DOJ. and you have to have Tulsi Gabbard at DNI, and you have to have Kash Patel running the FBI, because Hillary Clinton needs to go to prison for treason for the rest of her freaking miserable life. And Hussein Obama needs to be in the cell right next to her in some sort of trans prison. That's exactly what needs to happen. All right, we're going to skip that one, Will. Let's go to the next one. Let's change subjects here. Going to get off of Ukraine. I just had to show you this. These are things that I usually put in the pre and post game, but I couldn't do it. I could not do it. And look, guys, Aaron, can you just get these side by side? And I'm just let them all play full volume. I'll scream over them if I want to. But I just had to show you these things. And normally I wouldn't. Just go ahead. You're fine. I'll scream over you. It's not your fault. It's my fault. Look at Biden. Listen to this reporter. Actually, Aaron, or Will, who's ever doing it? Who controls it at this point? Will, run it all the way back to the beginning. I'm going to let you listen to it without me screaming. That's real, folks.
Oh my God.
That is real. He just blows this reporter off. They have not heard. Now look at him. He's frozen. The man is frozen. Now this is when he gets back from the trip. Now he's in D.C. Look at this. This is the president of the United States, folks. This is what they were hiding for 2 years. Kamala Harris bold-faced lied about for 2 years, which was part of the reason why she lost the election. Look at him. He's frozen. Hey, what are you going to do? He was just asked. You know, rewind all of the back to the beginning, guys. He's just asked by the reporter. Mr. President, what do you think about these missiles that you've okayed being shot into Russia? Look at his response. Listen. Imagine being a Democrat and you have advocated for that man to stay in office for all of these years. And Kamala Harris is worse because at least he is cognitively impaired. She's just galactically stupid. Don't worry. We can all fall back on Kamala, right? All right. Well, here's her agenda. There's Joe Biden. Absolutely clueless on where he is. I guarantee if Will was standing there on the tarmac and said, hey, Mr. President, where are you at right now? He would have gone, Wahoba Beach. All right. So here, we can follow. Now, she should be doing the 25th Amendment of the Constitution against President right now and getting him removed from office because he's ushering us in a nuclear war. All right, but here's where the vice president is. Who's running this freaking country? Joe Biden wouldn't talk to the media. He's down in Peru. I said Brazil the other day. I was wrong. He's in the rainforest in Peru. Who's approving these missiles being shot into Russia? Who's doing it, these attack-ems? He's down in the rainforest in Peru, petting monkeys. Here you go, Jojo. Go, come on, pet the monkeys, Jojo. Pet the monkeys, Jojo. He's down there just lost. He doesn't even talk to me. Listen to that poor reporter. Please, please. Sounds like me begging for a Snickers bar when I was 8. Please. Talk to us. You haven't talked to us the entire trip. How do we have, think about it. I mean, everyone, come. I know I'm being a little bit dramatic about this, but who's running this freaking country? Who's running it? Here's Kamala, daily guidance for the vice president for Tuesday, November 19th, 2024. It's yesterday. She's already in Hawaii, by the way. So here's her jam-packed agenda. 12:45, the vice president will depart Washington, D.C. en route to Los Angeles, California. The departure from Joint Base Andrews will be closed to the press. Well, of course. We don't see the vice president. We don't see the president. Remember, Lloyd Austin disappeared for Biden disappeared for 8 days. Nobody saw him. Remember, then the taller version of him appeared. Yeah. Remember that one? Yeah. He looked like an alien. He disappeared on some sort of medical emergency. They covered up for 8 days. Came back. Leave this up for me, Will. Came back. And a reporter yells out, "Mr. President, what do you think? What do you think about you not running?" And he goes, "I'm still running." And then the memo came out. I think that statement from Biden was after the memo that was sent out. And then the memo was acknowledged to be fraudulent. This is our country. The memo sent out, signed by Joe Biden, that he's withdrawing from the campaign, from running for president. And then everybody knew it wasn't his signature. And this is why they don't want Matt Gaetz in the FBI. We need to find out who put out that false statement, who signed it, forgery. And then Nancy Pelosi then distanced herself from, well, we knew that wasn't his memo the whole time. Huh? Explain that to us. Give me a detailed explanation of how that works, Nancy. How you didn't know. How you accepted that memo, and now you're saying it wasn't him, and how you are not asking for, demanding an investigation who wrote that memo. How do you just get away with this? Imagine if any of us did any of those things and put out false data, lied about our taxes, lied about anything. We'd all be in prison. They do anything they want. Because it's a two-tier justice system, which is why they don't want anything to do with Cash Patel or Matt Gaetz. At 2:55, don't worry, the vice president will arrive in Los Angeles. Oh, thank goodness. That makes you feel so much better. What is the, is the 25th Amendment, Aaron, when you remove the president, Article 25 or something? Make sure I don't sound like an idiot.
Yeah,
on that.
I think it's the 25th Amendment.
It's amendment, right?
Yeah.
Just check it for me so I make sure I get that right. The arrival at Los Angeles International Airport will be close, because she should be doing that. We'll be close to the, is it 25th?
Yep.
All right, sweet, you got it. Look at the end of all of these. Close to the press. Close to the press. Close to the press. Close to the press. So we can't see the vice president of the United States. And we don't, and the president of the United States doesn't talk to the press for 5 days. This is the weirdest time in American history. 4:25, the vice president and the second gentleman will depart Los Angeles to en route to Kailua, Hawaii. So they got Kamala to Hawaii, Joe Biden down in Peru, and missiles flying into Russia. I mean, everything you think that the United States is, it isn't, but Donald Trump can bring it back. The vice president and the second gentleman arrive in Kailua, Hawaii. This arrival at Kona International Airport will be close to the press. We'll be close to the press. We'll be close to the press. We'll be close to the press. Of course. Unbelievable. All right, let's go. We'll move on. All right, so George tweet. So what Chuck Schumer's been on and about doing while Republicans refuse to show up is confirming Nazi judges, leftist, globalist, elitist, baby butchering, child mutilating, not knowing whether it's a male or a female, and cannot define what a woman is, judges. He's been confirming them one right after another while Ted Cruz doesn't show up to vote. We don't want to attack our own. I'm attacking our own. J.D. Vance didn't show up to vote either. Breaking, Chuck Schumer just confirmed another lifelong federal judge with a vote of 50-48. Republican Senators Ted Cruz and Mike Braun didn't bother to show up to block the confirmation, making it 50-50. And guess what? If you look what George says, Kamala's in Hawaii, so she couldn't be the deciding vote. So this leftard judge, who's a freaking Nazi communist, wouldn't be a judge right now if Vance would have showed up, Braun would have shown up, or Cruz would show up, which makes you think. What's really the motivation here? Is it always just push-pull concessions? Remember what I've told you before, and I don't want to go too deep into this because I haven't gotten to Matt Gaetz yet. But is it just all a giant illusion up there where you think that we win certain battles, but do we ever actually win a battle? Do we just win a battle, but it never actually stops the globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist narrative and agenda from moving forward? But we win like a battle, but the narrative never stops moving forward. But we're under the illusion that it does because people like Cruz and Braun don't show up. Explain to me what Ted Cruz is doing. What's this jam-packed agenda he has to? See, he was on the launching pad with Donald Trump and Elon Musk the other day. See, I'm no sycophant. I'm no sycophant. What's true is true. And if Republicans act like idiots, you're going to hear it. If Donald Trump acts like an idiot, you'll hear it here. And if that means I get no viewers, I get no viewers. I'd rather be beholden to the truth than be beholden to a person, because the fear of man brings a snare. Senator J.D. Vance is our vice president and still took time. This is the one he showed up for. Didn't show up for another one. Out of his busy schedule, to show up and vote. He showed up for this one, but he didn't show up for another one. Where were Ted Cruz and Mike Braun? We could have stopped this nomination, or at the very least slowed down Schumer. If Republicans were the ones speed running confirmations like Schumer, every Democrat senator would show up. I know. Because here's the thing. Again, is it all a giant facade? A fake synergistic tension going on inside of Washington, D.C., where you think there are people there fighting for you, but they're actually coming to backroom agreements, backroom deals, to slowly, in a more palatable way, actually usher forward the Democratic narrative and agenda with the cooperation and collaboration of Republicans who you think are there fighting for you. But isn't it funny that we've had Republican houses, Republican senates, and Republican presidents, and we're still $36 trillion in debt? And I've got a whole debt segment that might bore people. But listen, everyone want to talk about nuclear war. Everyone wants to talk about CBDCs and social credit systems. Because debt isn't really sexy to talk about. The more dangerous thing than any of those things is the debt. Is the debt. All right, let's go to the next one. Next one, Will, I don't even know where I am. Matt Whitlock tweet.
Yep.
This nominee has written, the nominee's on the bottom there, Embry Kidd. Embry Kidd has written that laws against child rape are racist. That's, you just got confirmed. Not that, this is a different confirmation now, because Chuck Schumer got through two. He hid two previous decisions where he gave lenient sentences to child predators from the Senate. Now he's a lifetime. Now he has a lifetime judgeship. And that's great, isn't it? Instead of a Trump nominee, because Republicans didn't bother to show up. Go to the next one for me. Senate press gallery tweet. By a vote of 49-45, Embry J. Kidd is now going to be United States Circuit Judge for the 11th Circuit. Senator Manchin voted no, but Braun, Dane, Fetterman, Haggerty, Rubio, and Vance didn't vote. That would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of the 6 people that didn't vote. I'm not sure about Danes. Aaron, see if you can find out who Senator Danes is. But at least 4 out of those 6 are Republicans, and Aaron will tell me who Danes is in the next 30 seconds. Didn't even bother to vote. So now we have a judge who wants lenient sentences for child rapists and actually calls child rape laws racist. Go, Aaron.
He's a Republican, he's the guy that did the "my pronouns are Republican majority."
Oh, there you go. Look at that. Yeah. See what I mean? The perfect example. So I played on the podcast because it was actually a brilliant little video. He was the one who said the other day that I think we led with or whatever, ended with in the pregame yesterday. My name is, what's his first name, Aaron?
Oh, gosh. Hang on.
My name is Senator Danes. Aaron will tell me who he is. And my pronouns are
Steve.
Steve, my name is Steve Danes, and my pronouns are Republican majority. And then he doesn't bother to show up. So again, what's really happening here? Do these guys meet with Schumer in some sort of backroom deal? And Schumer says, just let me get these confirmed and I'll work with you later. And then Schumer never does work with them later because they're a bunch of spineless worms. Or are they all actually leftists? Trying to usher forward a leftist agenda in a more palatable way. Tom, are you saying that about Rubio or Vance or Braun? Well, show up to the vote and prove me wrong. Show up. Why are you not showing up to vote? Kamala Harris isn't even here. We win this. Look at the difference. If Fetterman showed up, they'd have 50, all right? And we would have 50-50 again. And without Kamala here, she can't vote in absentia. She can't vote. So there you go. What, I mean, again, I'm just wondering what's really happening. Are they all backroom deals? And why is it that our agenda isn't the one that's ushered forward in a more palatable way? Think about it. $36 trillion in debt. Are we more liberal or more conservative than we were 10 years ago in this country? So our agenda is not being ushered forward, but yet we've had majorities in the House, majority in the Senate. We've had obviously, Republican presidents, more Democrat presidents than Republicans in the last 30 years. But I'm just saying. And Trump is a true outsider who's not a part of any of this. But how many of these people are? You saying this about J.D. Vance, Tom? I don't know. I hope not. Remember, he was fervently anti-Trump at one point. I'm just wondering why the man doesn't show up to vote. He's a senator. And can stop Embry J. Kidd, who is a wretched human being. Look at what Ron DeSantis had to say. Go to the next one for me, Will. The leftist judge, this is Embry, would have been voted down and the seat on the important 11th Circuit would have been filled by a Donald Trump appointee next year had Republicans bothered to freaking show up. Now the leftist judge will have a lifetime appointment and the people of Florida, Alabama, and Georgia will suffer the consequences. Why did they show up? I want a memo. I want an explanation about why these people did not show up. Because and I don't mean to be redundant with this, I just am like, what is truly happening in Washington, D.C.? Is it all just a giant facade of ushering forward the leftist, globalist, bourgeois, elitist narrative out of London, out of Beijing, out of Davos, and out of D.C.? And all these Republicans are simply acting like opposition to that agenda and to that narrative? so that you and I think there's somebody there fighting for them? Because the agenda never swings back right. Even during years when Trump was in president, it still ushers forward. We're still trillions of dollars in debt. Do I believe that Trump's the answer? I do believe he's the answer for it. I do. Love him, voting for him 3 times. But even then, there was concessions there never should have been. Why? Why would, give me, I mean, again, I'm going to stop right here. I would love an explanation. Ron DeSantis would have showed up to vote. Why didn't they show up to vote? I'm just curious. And now we got leftist judges that we never should have had. Kamala's not even here to vote. We got 3 days without Kamala. It's Kamala free time. She's going to be there probably 2 weeks. Do whatever we want. She's not the deciding vote in the Senate, right? Unbelievable to me. All right, let's go to Matt Gaetz. Pamsy Now video. This man makes very valid points as to why Gaetz should be chosen to be the next attorney general. Play for me.
That's 177 veterans that were arrested for January 6th for exercising their First Amendment right, for protesting a clearly manipulated election, some of which weren't even allowed to use their First Amendment right in their court cases as a defense. See this pink one here? That's Ashley Babbitt. She was murdered, along with other J6 protesters. They told you Capitol Police died. No Capitol Police died that day. You know that they hold a nightly vigil outside the D.C. prison for J6ers that were killed and the ones that are incarcerated? You know that Matt Gaetz is one of the only representatives that has shown up to show his respects and listen to the people?
See, they don't want these malicious prosecutions, these unfounded prosecutions, many of them overturned via Enron, and then they're re-prosecuting these people under ridiculous other charges that don't really exist. And again, listen, I'm totally balanced when it comes to 1-6. Do I believe it was a Fed's direction? Absolutely, because Christopher Wray refuses to answer questions that would dissuade me from that point. Christopher Wray from Clay Higgins, did you have FBI assets inside the Capitol dressed as Trump supporters prior to the Capitol breach? I can't answer that because it's an ongoing investigation. It's been 900 days. Can't answer that question. But anybody who assaulted a cop, whatever it may be, that's one thing. And even if you did, even if they did, it's been 3 years and those sentences should long since be gone. Said there's people in prison for 18, 16, 10, 12 enhanced sentences because the various cops, whether it was Fanone, whether it was Dunn, whether it was Gunnell, all bold-faced lied and said they were victims when they weren't, which enhanced J6er sentences. I'd love to spend 3 hours on it, but I can't. 177 veterans of the United States military are either still in prison or were arrested as part of the 1-6 roundup. And of course, there's no roundup for illegal fentanyl dealers, illegal child sex traffickers, 325,000 kids missing from the southern border. But go get the flag waivers from the 1-6 Fed insurrection. How in the world would it ever be an insurrection when not one firearm was ever even found on site? How in the world are you going to defeat the Capitol Police? How are you going to defeat the National Guard that was turned out by Nancy Pelosi and Muriel Bowser, mayor of D.C.? How are you going to beat the Marines when they're dispatched to the scene with flagpoles and 85-year-old women with MAGA hats on? How in the world is it an insurrection? This is why they're terrified of Matt Gaetz going in there and actually looking at how the insurrection happened. It's not an insurrection, but you know, the Fed insurrection happened. Where were those FBI assets? He'll have access to all of that. Did you have FBI assets inside the Capitol dressed as Trump supporters prior to the Capitol breach? He'll have access to all that. That's how you know. And I'm taking this from Dan Bongino. The effectiveness of your nominee. You know how effective it is and how righteous it is via the reaction of your opposition. None of them say anything about Marco Rubio. You know, the same guy who just refused to show up and vote. None of them have a problem with that guy. Have you noticed that? No problem with that nomination at all. That's weird, isn't it? But they have a lot of problem with Pete Hegseth because Pete Hegseth is now going to have access to what happened at Abbey Gate. We'd all like to know what happened on Abbeygate, wouldn't we? I don't have time to get into that right now. This is the Matt Gaetz section. All right, go to the next one for me, Will. Leading report tweet. Breaking, Senator Lindsey Graham has met with Matt Gaetz and J.D. Vance for his political survival and is now urging GOP senators, because he's running, he has to be reelected in 2 years, and is now urging GOP senators to vote to confirm Gaetz. Of course, that's what Lindsey does. He'll do that on Capitol grounds in the Senate. He'll vote correctly, sort of. And right now, this is one of those things. Normally, they vote correct when whatever they're voting for will never actually become policy. You know, again, just like they did with Obamacare. They voted against Obamacare 8 times to vote down Obamacare. And when we finally had the votes to take it down, John McCain voted against taking it down. That's what they usually do. But here, Graham is cornered. He has to vote for Gaetz, or he knows Trump is not going to stump. Yes, Trump stump. Trump's not going to stump for him in 2 years or 4 years whenever he runs again. He knows it. And without Trump, Lindsey Graham loses, and he knows it. Trump, think about it. If Trump comes out against Lindsey Graham and Trump endorses Lindsey Graham's, the person running against Lindsey Graham, watch Lindsey Graham go down in flames. But Lindsey Graham jumps on board. Congratulations. Doing the right thing, even if he's been forced to. All right, let's go to the next one. So here's where Amy Klobuchar, senator out of Minnesota, the House Ethics Committee should send their report on Matt Gaetz to the Senate. The House Ethics Committee and all their investigations have never released one of them. Whenever the House Ethics Committee does an investigation, never in their history have they ever released one of their investigations. Not of a Democrat, not of a Republican. And Marjorie Taylor Greene has come out and said, you know what? If you're going to release them, then let's release them all. We'll all get to see what happened with Swalwell, too. Swallowswell. We'll get to see what happened with Dianne Feinstein and her Chinese spy chauffeur. How in the world do you get a chauffeur when you're making $200,000 a year? Amazing to me. But anyway, we'll get to see what happened with that. I'd love to see the detailed investigation of Swallowswell with Fang Fang. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see it. So let's release it. Notice how Swallowswell didn't come out today and say anything. That's weird, isn't it? Mm. He's not saying release it because Marjorie Taylor Greene said release them all. Some other Democrats came out and said, oh, well, we agree. Let's just release them all. I wonder why Swallowswell is not saying that. That's weird. But here's the idiot, Klobuchar. Play it for me.
There are some, you know, people who have thought, you know, maybe Matt Gaetz is sort of a sacrificial lamb, that everybody will be focused on that and not have the bandwidth or the ammunition to go after and try to look at the records of and really put up a fight against the nomination of some of the other, you know, Hegseth or Tulsi Gabbard. What can Democrats actually do? I mean, how much can they, you know, presidents deserve to have the people they want to have around them. How much leverage do the Democrats have?
Well, it's not just Democrats. It's Republicans as well. If you look at the pushback on Matt Gaetz, you have people like John Cornyn asking for that ethics report. You have Lisa Murkowski voicing concerns. You have a conservative like Kevin Cramer from North Dakota saying that it's a long shot. And remember, they have the votes now, and they are going to have to make a decision if these are the people, in the case of Matt Gaetz, that you want running an agency, the Department of Justice, frontline law enforcement, 115,000 people charged with going after internet scams and charged with going after fentanyl rings. And so that's why this is a pretty serious job for everyone, not just Democrats. But of course, we must have these hearings, we must ask the questions, and we must do the checks on people's backgrounds. That's why I am so pissed off about this ethics report. Do they really, when the Speaker says it shouldn't be released, and I hope it's released tomorrow, are they asking the Senate to then recreate, with precious taxpayer money, recreate that entire report? What does that mean? I guess we have the same FBI people asking the same questions, going to the same witnesses to get to the bottom of all of these allegations involving Matt Gaetz.
This is hysterical. So she is asking for a House Ethics Committee investigative narrative to be released for the first time in American history. This just shows you, and by the way, Matt Gaetz has been completely exonerated. It's all the whole thing about sleeping with a teenage girl, 17-year-old girl, is all a lie. The person who insinuated that is spending 11 years in federal prison. They were trying to extort Matt Gaetz' father, who wore a wire and exposed the extortioner. He's in prison. That's what it's all about. That's it. But the House Ethics Committee has never released a report, one of its reports, ever. And now suddenly, Amy Klobuchar wants it released. Why didn't she want it for Swallows? Well, amazing, isn't it? And he's still on the House Intelligence Committee. And she goes, I think that the FBI, I mean, she goes, I think that the person who's running the AAG should be out hunting down fentanyl dealers. You mean like the Bidens didn't do? Why weren't you saying that for the last 4 years, Amy? And then she says, are we going to have to recreate the investigation? Oh, just try that. Just try to spend tens of millions of dollars reinvestigating Matt Gaetz when the House has already done it and already exonerated him. Thank you very much. And I'm just wondering, you know, again, why are they so afraid of Matt Gaetz? I mean, let's just use some of their statements, shall we? Let's use some of their narrative, shall we? No one's above the law. Why are you afraid of Matt Gaetz? You're obviously scared of him. What, I mean, if all that Matt Gaetz was capable of doing was incendiary verbiage, then why are you scared? You said no one's above the law. And remember this one too. If you haven't done anything wrong, then you have nothing to fear. We've been hearing that over the last 4 years as they falsely, fraudulently prosecuted Donald Trump and his political allies. Donald Trump's homes raided by the FBI for the first time in American history. Has that ever happened? Donald Trump's homes raided. A prior president raid, a current president raids the home of a prior president. Oh no, the AG and the presidency are separate. By the way, that's a fallacy, just so everybody knows. The AG is not separate from the executive branch when the AG is the executive branch. It's ridiculous. But anyway, I digress. So they raid Mar-a-Lago. They arrest Donald Trump, 34 felony cases, dispatch their number three from the DOJ to meet with Alvin Bragg to reignite the case in New York, 34 felony counts, the ridiculous E. Jean Carroll case, the ridiculous real estate case, the ridiculous Fannie Willis case, and the ridiculous two Jack Smith cases. So the people claiming that Matt Gaetz is going to weaponize the DOJ have been weaponizing the DOJ over the last 4 years. Peter Navarro in prison. Steve Bannon in prison. Project Veritas raided. Rudy Giuliani sued into financial oblivion. Alex Jones sued into financial oblivion. So the people claiming that we're going to weaponize the judicial system have been weaponizing the judicial system for the last 4 years. And that's what she's scared of. All these DOJs, current DOJ employees right now, are lawyering up. They're absolutely scared to death. Well, again, why are you scared? No one's above the law. And if you've done nothing wrong, then you have nothing to fear. Let's just keep saying it to them over and over again. We're not going to be fraudulent. We're not going to lie under oath. If they didn't commit a crime, they're good to go. But a lot of them have committed crimes, especially conspiracy against rights when it comes to the rights of Donald Trump, Peter Navarro, Steve Bannon, and maybe others. All right, Patrick Webb tweet. Just in, the two women who have accused Matt Gaetz of paying them for sexual favors support the release of the private testimony, which doesn't have their name on it, before the House Ethics Committee, but do not want to testify publicly, according to attorney Joel Leppard. So in other words, what they want are their lies to be read publicly and the lies never attached to them and never be held accountable for their perjurious claims. There you go. And by the way, if Matt Gaetz was having sex with a lot of women, okay, that has nothing to do. And listen, he'll go to hell for it if he doesn't repent of his sin. That's him, okay? I'll look differently on it if it turns out that he's paying for sex or whatever, depending on what year he did it and everything else. I'm just saying what state it was in, legality or the illegality of it. We can look at all that. But the thing is, do we honestly think that Matt Gaetz trafficked in underage women? I mean, the FBI, he would be buried under a prison right now. They obviously have nothing on him. And the whole genesis of this case of sex trafficking of a 17-year-old was all the result. The genesis of the case was an extortioner with ties to the FBI contacting Matt Gaetz' dad and trying to extort $25 million from the Gaetz family by saying, we have evidence that your son had sex with an underage girl. And they were like, oh, no, you don't. And the local FBI had Gaetz' father put a wire on, which exposed the extortioner. And the extortioner's in prison for 11 years right now. All right, Real Robert video. And here it is, why Kash Patel will be, am I in the right one? Where am I at? Am I in the right one? Am I Real Robert? Okay. Mm-hmm. And here it is, why Kash Patel will be the next FBI director. Here's Massey versus who Cash Patel, it better not be Mike Rogers. If it's Mike Rogers, listen, you have Mike Rogers, you have another James Comey. If it's Mike Rogers, you got another Christopher Wray. Simple as that. You have another Robert Mueller, just a DC nasty insider who will do anything to keep his job. Real Robert video, and here it is, why Cash Patel will be the next FBI director. Play it for me.
View with Assistant Director Stephen Drontuano. Chairman Jordan and I sent you a letter a month ago. Some of the information that we found in that interview was that phone data that could have helped to identify the pipe bomber was corrupted, was unusable. He also wasn't sure who found or how the second bomb was found at the DNC. Do you know how the second bomb was found at the DNC? And when do you plan on answering our letter?
Well, as to the letter, I will work with the department to make sure we can figure out what information we can provide. As you know, this is a very active, ongoing investigation, and there are some restrictions on that, but we will do
our best. Yes, we can handle classified information, and we fund your department, and so you need to provide that.
It's not an issue of classification. It's an issue of commenting on ongoing criminal investigations, which is something that by longstanding department policy we are restricted in doing. And in fact, the last administration actually strengthened those policies partly
because... That's not our policy, though, and we fund you. So let's move on. Do you know how the second pipe bomb... Can you tell us how the second pipe bomb was found at the DNC?
Again, I'm not going to get into that here.
900 days ago is when this happened, and you said you had total confidence we'd apprehend the subject.
900 days, and this is a active investigation, a very active investigation. 900 days in, and you've got nothing. And the entire time, Christopher Wray is lying by saying that the cell phone data, because the suspect that put down the two pipe bombs, RNC DNC, was making phone calls while he did it. And then the videotape that the FBI released, what do you call it, Aaron, when they make it the one... Frame per second. They put out one frame per second video.
Yeah.
Which is basically low tier, low tech 7-Eleven surveillance camera level. And the person shooting that video was a live human being with a toggle switch. And that's what they released. And then they say, because they got the guy on the video making phone calls, and they say that that's something which you could easily geo-track that phone call. And we know exactly who that person was. They've said for years, 900 days, that cell phone data was corrupted. Now we found out that it's not corrupted. You know why we found out it wasn't corrupted? And I'm wondering why we haven't heard from the phone companies until now. Phone companies come out and said it wasn't corrupted. I wonder why they're doing that, because they know Matt Gaetz is about to be the FBI director. And not the FBI director. AG and Cash Patel is going to be the FBI director. That's why they're coming out now. It wasn't corrupted. Christopher Wray's lying. Christopher Wray needs to spend the rest of his life in federal prison. Simple as that. He really does. For his numerous counts of perjury and conspiracy against rights against Donald Trump specifically. All right, I got to cool my jets because I got to show you this because it's just funny. This is simply for my own personal entertainment. Steven Crowder video. It's called "Title for Thanks for Jaguar." So Jaguar, the car manufacturer, has decided to destroy itself, I guess, by releasing this new commercial. Play it for me. Bah.
What the heck?
That was bad form.
Wait
with
for
the
it.
Sledge.
Wait for it. We're gonna get to the car. Oh, it's a stone.
Oh.
Gerald has not seen this.
I was told not to. You know how many posts I had to skip on X because of this?
This just tells you, you know, when people say, hey, do you think the left is going to straighten up and fly right and ditch this woke agenda, to use that term? They can't. They can't, because just like we talked about how in Washington, D.C., the swamp is not the elected officials, it's the unelected appointments in many cases, certainly with intelligence agencies.
Yeah.
You have the same problem in not only Hollywood, but all of media. You don't realize the brand managers, the content managers, the publicists, that they have just been infiltrated by people who unironically use the term DEI. Behind closed doors, they use it as a virtue. I want you to think, there was a whole boardroom meeting, mm-hmm. and everyone said, yeah, this will help us sell cars.
Yeah.
So
Nobody's going to buy from them. They just eliminated about 70% of the Earth's population from ever buying a Jaguar again. Ever. I like Jaguars, by the way. Not anymore. Not anymore. I wasn't on the cusp of buying one, but I certainly would never even remotely consider it now, ever buying that. Because, I mean, you see the guy in the dress with a hammer saying, break molds? I mean, and where did all this come from? You ever wonder where this come from? Well, here's a Tommy Robinson video. Here is the new head of brand strategy at Jaguar. Play it for me.
And at Jaguar, we are passionate about our people, and we're committed to fostering a diverse, inclusive, and unified culture that is representative not only of the people who use our products, but in a society in which we all live, a culture where our employees can bring their authentic selves to work. And we're on a transformative journey of our own, driven by a belief in diversity, inclusion, creativity, policy, and most importantly, action. We've established over 15 DEI groups, such as Pride, who are here tonight in the back. Thank you guys for coming. Women in Engineering and Neurodiversity Matters. We've launched major policy revisions, such as transitioning at work, to drive equity and support for our communities, embracing individuality as our superpower.
First of all, who shows up in an outfit like that at a corporate summit, for one thing? And they're on a transformative journey. And we're on a transformative journey for our employees to discover their true selves, as well as our customers. You honestly think this is going to sell cars? What does this have to do with fuel injection? What does this have to do with horsepower? What does this have to do with performance or longevity of a motorized vehicle? Nothing. I hope that they just absolutely crash and burn. I hope they're done, metaphorically, of course. Now, here's the one thing I got to show you. So you remember the whole Bud Light controversy, right? So Bud Light knows they don't want... Now, Bud Light's hoping... They're praying right now. Bud Light right now, I guarantee you, is holding a prayer vigil that everybody will now turn their focus onto Jaguar and forget about their Dylan Mulvaney ad. They're hoping. Now, here's what they're doing to try to come back. Trying to make a giant comeback up from the ashes. Bud Light's trying to do that. By doing... an ad making fun of woke ads. That's what Bud Light's doing. It's Outkick video. Play it for me.
It is not just a fragrance. It is a feeling. It is a passion.
What?
Where'd you get a snake?
We are all lost.
Yeah, I'm lost. I'm 100% lost here.
But we are on the edge.
Hey, all right. Is this pocket full of sand? Hey, I think I'm in the wrong commercial.
What?
Yeah, dude, this isn't right.
Wait, aren't you Andre?
No, I'm Shane. My name's Shane.
Huh. Oh, I see what's going on. You're supposed to be in a Bud Light commercial.
Oh, I'm supposed to be in a Bud Light commercial, not here. So that's why I'm the odd one out down here.
Well, if you're here, Andre is.
Yes! 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 Woo! Ah, love it here. Oh, man.
Something is different about you, man.
I just ordered some wings in that other commercial. You think they're gonna make it here? You guys like wings? You blue cheese guy, ranch girl? You're a ranch girl. You guys like blood or something?
So I'm all for redemption. If Bud Light wants to try to redeem themselves, of course, I hate alcohol, but I'm just saying, if Bud Light wants to redeem themselves, that's perfectly fine. Always for redemption upon repentance. No problem at all if that's what they want to do. The person who put out the Dylan Mulvaney ad, she's long since been fired. She was very similar to the Jaguar official who put out the new Jaguar ad. So anyway, I guess that's it. At 10:27. Hey, let me say hi to Mo and Buddy. I got your letter. Really appreciate you. Mo Betta on the chat. Thank you. Love you guys. I read your whole letter. Really appreciate every kind word that you said. Love you. Really do appreciate you. Rumble Rants tonight. Q13013. $100. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Nitsua, $99, $10. Gucci Buckeye, $10. BP2, Tim 17, $10. Order in the court, $10. The matriarch of the Rumble Rant, Tammy L. Margritter. Every night, $10. Riff of Dota, $10. Dave Souders, $5. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. 1,165 people still on. Everybody stay on for the postgame. It's probably the cutest postgame in history. Nicest, sweetest post. I don't mean that sarcastically. It's got some bad stuff in it, but I mixed in a lot of really good stuff. So you got to see it. Great stuff. Some tearjerker stuff. You're going to love it. It's not that long. Stick around for the postgame. I'll be in the chat during the postgame if I can figure out how to use the computer. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you.
2 Corinthians 8:9. He became poverty so that you could become rich. And then Christians think that it's an attribute to be poor. That's like saying that it's an attribute to become sin because he became sin. Well, you just want to feed the world. How are you going to feed the world when you're broke? Wouldn't you rather, instead of signing up for a dollar a day to save this or that, wouldn't you rather save an entire village by giving them $5 million? Well, we have all of that. The cattle upon 1,000 hills and all wealth is his. Romans chapter 8, 16 and 17. Join heirs with him. Therefore, what does heir mean? Inheritance. It's yours. And it's not yours in heaven. It's yours now. Nobody ever believes it because they've been ingrained into believing that poverty is a Christian attribute. It is not. If you don't want it, give it away and let God make you a continuous conduit of cash.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.